Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. You know, we say that probably almost every time somebody enters the pulpit, we greet in the name of Jesus. And it has the potential to become just kind of a formal thing we say, but I trust that the name of Jesus never becomes something unvalued, not important. It is the most precious thing we have. Jesus Christ, the one who provided salvation for us, that we can be redeemed, that we can be united with God this morning. Well, today is New Year's Day, January 1st, 2023. I don't know what goes through your mind as you think about that date today, the change of the year, and I'm sure it depends on a lot of things. A lot probably depends on the stage of life you find yourself in. You know, maybe you're young and looking forward to adulthood, and you're just glad to see another year. You know, as we look forward to maybe what seems like greater things ahead. Maybe you're looking forward to being 13, a teenager, or 16, where we can drive or whatever it might be. Maybe you're a young adult and time seems to be going a bit faster now, but even so, you maybe don't even remember when the year didn't start with the number 20. But life is exciting, and it's exciting to see a new year because there's a lot to look forward to. You have a lot of goals, a lot of aspirations, a lot of big things to happen in your life. And it's kind of like reading an exciting book and turning the page and not sure what all God has for you on that page. And so there's a excitement, anticipation in life. Maybe you're more in your middle years as a father or a mother. And by this time, life seems to be coming so fast, at you so fast, that it's just overwhelming at times. And maybe you even find yourself with all the responsibilities just in a bit of survival mode. You know, just hanging on. And the turn of the year, you know, dates are just a blur, and the turn of the year is just maybe a startling, remindful, maybe even a painful reminder of all the things that you didn't get done in 2022. Or maybe you're older, time is still flying by, but you're becoming increasingly aware of, as you might say, the sun setting in your life. And it brings a soberness and awareness about the shortness of life. No matter what stage of life you find yourself in, we find ourselves in, there's things that I think are healthy to consider as we think of the new year. And I'm not necessarily one that has been one to make New Year's resolutions as such, but nonetheless, it's an opportunity to contemplate and to ponder life and time. You know, a number of things that are good to think about. One of them is time. Time is moving on. It's fleeting. 2022 is gone. and the memories might linger, but there's no going back and reliving 2022. It's a year that has passed. And what we did with it is done. What will we do with the next year? 2022 or 2023. I told Michelle I barely have gotten to the place of getting my hand trained to write 2022 at the end of the date, and here we are, 2023 already. But another thing I believe is good to ponder is the faithfulness of God. And that's where I would like to draw our focus to this morning, the faithfulness of God. How has it impacted your life? How did it impact your life in 2022? And how will it impact and affect your life in 2023? What does faithfulness mean? As we think of the faithfulness of God, we might think of words like trustworthy, consistent. We think of God keeping His word. Those are some of the things we think about as we think of His faithfulness. Maybe we think of the faithfulness of God in creation. That's a healthy exercise. You don't need to turn there, but Psalm 119:89-91 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinance, for all are thy servants." The earth and the celestial bodies continue on faithfully. God holds this universe together day after day, year after year. Genesis 8:22 comes to mind. "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Another verse to the testimony or to the faithfulness of God in creation. We sing the song, "Great is thy faithfulness." And verse 2 says, "Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love." Amazing how the universe, creation, is held together constantly by the power of our great and faithful God. I was, years ago, I believe I was 16, sitting in a planetarium down in D.C. I think it was in the Air and Space Museum, I'm not exactly sure, but I was sitting there and we saw this show, and I don't remember exactly what all was about, but it was obviously celestial planets and stars. I'm not sure what all, but it was a very impressive display of creation. And then it came to the end, and of course, it was like all the usual you would expect in a place like that, you know, millions of years and all the belief theory that scientists, modern scientists have. But then it came to the end, and it ended in a way that I don't know that I've ever seen before or since then, saying that, but in all of this, and all this hugeness, and all that we've discovered, all these amazing things we've discovered, there's still something that we haven't found. There's still a bigger power that's holding this thing all together. And I think they even had a name for it, like black power or dark power. And I think it was given in the sense that there was more to discover, more to learn. But as I sat there, of course, I thought, yes, there's a bigger power that's holding this together. This thing doesn't just hold itself together on its own. God is in it. And God is faithful. And that was probably the closest opportunity I ever had, like what Paul had on Mars Hill. And like I said, I was 16 and timid then, but I've often replayed that in my mind and wondered if I would have the courage to stand up and say, "Ye men of America, that power, that unknown power, I declare to you." It's been a challenge to me ever since. It's very rich and rewarding to think of the faithfulness of God in creation, the consistency of celestial bodies, the day, night, the seasons, the tide, all these things that are so predictable that happen again and again and again, the eclipses that we can predict down to the very minute and second that these things will occur in the heavens. The laws of nature, gravity. While I was preparing this message and I was sitting at my desk and kind of just pondering and contemplating, my eyes just happened to be watching when as a child rocked too hard on his little rocking chair, and it went over backwards and his head firmly planted on the concrete. He was fine then, but you know, the law of gravity, it's consistent. We can count on it. The reproductive cycles that happen again and again in the plant and animal kingdoms, it's just amazing, fascinating how nature just reproduces itself. The forces of nature and their effect. You know, if there was a fire in the room here today, I don't think any of us would wait around to find out, well, what does a fire do on January 1st? You know, maybe it'll be different today. No, the outcome and what we expect is it's predictable. It's the faithfulness of God. It's all amazing and wonderful how our faithful God has set creation into motion. But the faithfulness of God, you know, if I was to ask you what the faithfulness of God is and what you see, maybe you would have said some of the things that I talked about, and that's good and that's right. But the faithfulness of God goes so much deeper than nature, so much farther. It becomes much more personal. Because God is faithful in His relationship with man. More specifically, God is faithful in His covenant with His people. And that is really where I want to focus our attention this morning. The relational aspect of God's faithfulness. You can turn with me for a text to 1 Kings chapter 8. There's a lot of scripture we could go to this morning in thinking about the faithfulness of God. But I chose this passage. We find that Solomon has finished building the temple. And here in chapter 8, we find Solomon's dedication prayer. Solomon prays this prayer as a petition. He asks God to do these things, but I believe that it is a prayer of faith. He asks knowing that God is going to do it already. Because he believed in the covenant that God had made with his people. And he knew that God would respond to his people accordingly. I would like to start by looking at the foundation of the entire prayer, and that we find at the end. Solomon gives the reason why his prayer is valid. It's the end of the prayer, which let's start reading at verse 51. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 51 says, "For," and we could insert the word because there. This is Solomon saying, this is the reason why, God, you should grant the petition that I'm asking you. For they be thy people, speaking of the children of Israel, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them, and all that they call for unto thee. For, because thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And we will read the entire prayer, but I just wanted to bring out these last three verses of the prayer. Solomon says, because, this is the reason why this prayer is valid, because these people are your people. You brought them out of Egypt. You brought them out of Egypt at the hand of Moses, and you made them a separate people. You established a covenant with them, and that is why this prayer is valid. He's saying, God, you will grant the request of my prayer because you were faithful and made that covenant with us. You know, that was the old covenant that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. But today, God has been faithful in giving us a covenant, the new covenant. But that old covenant that Solomon was speaking of, in many ways, typifies the new covenant. In many ways. You know, this morning, as born-again Christians, if you've given your heart to Christ, we, and believers everywhere, are the people of God. Just as the children of Israel were the people of God in the Old Testament. Egypt is a type, in the Old Covenant, is a type of bondage to sin in the New Covenant. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're born again this morning, you came to a realization that you were in bondage to sin. And that is typified by the children of Israel in Egypt, in bondage to Pharaoh. The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt by Moses. Today we are delivered from sin by Jesus Christ. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Delivered by Jesus Christ, by the cross. The cross stands as a testament of the faithfulness of God. And we, like them, are made a separate people unto God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That language that reflects the old covenant, but is true, more true in the new. You are a chosen people. We are a separated people unto God. Never, never disregard the old covenant as meaningless to us today. This covenant is the reason that Solomon told God that his prayer should stand, why it's valid. And I'd like to explore the prayer now. And as we go, I want to pull out six ways that God is faithful to his people. And many of these points we could apply to all men, how God is faithful to all men. But I want us to think specifically today, specifically as God's faithfulness to His people. Because Solomon was not praying. Well, there is a section where he does pray for the stranger, and we'll talk about that. But as a whole, this prayer is for God's people. And so I think that's how we should take it today, as God's faithfulness to His people, the Christians, the body of Christ today. Let's start in chapter 8, verse 22 of 1 Kings. I'm sorry, I think I said that wrong. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation and spread forth his hands toward heaven. The first point I want to bring out is God is faithful in keeping his promises. Let's keep reading, verse 23. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. Now, Solomon here is speaking of a very specific promise, and that is the promise to David that there would not fail a man to sit on his throne in his lineage. And of course, that's a very special promise because that is the promised Messiah and salvation today on because of this promise. Second Peter 1:4, speaking of Jesus, says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises by Jesus Christ. And so we can think specifically of that promise of salvation, but in general, all the promises of God to those that believe as part of salvation, as part of what Jesus has brought to us. We can think of promises of protection and care. We can think of promises of God's presence. We can think of promises of redemption, of divine grace, of deliverance, promises of unlimited blessings to the people of God, promises of answers to prayer, promises of power, promises of eternal life, and promises of an eternal home. And we can make the list long as we think of all the kinds of promises that God has given to us in His Word. God is faithful in keeping His promises. The second thing I want to bring out is that God is faithful in condescending to those whose hearts are turned toward Him. Let's keep reading in verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Remember, Solomon is dedicating the temple. Will God dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth for thee today, that thine eyes may be open towards this house night and day, even towards the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make towards this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant, and of thy people Israel when they shall pray towards this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. God is faithful in condescending to those whose hearts are turned towards Him. What does that mean? That means God comes down. When our hearts are turned towards Him, He comes down to our level and meets with us. Comes down and lives with us. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is Jesus. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." That's the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of Jesus, and what He does with those that have their hearts turned toward Him in humility. Thirdly, God is faithful in judging the hearts of men. Let's keep reading in verse 31. "If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid unto him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justify the righteous to give him according to his righteousness." Saying, God, when there's wrongs, when there's problems between your people, you judge. If you jump ahead to verse 39, just momentarily, it says, "Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men." Do you believe that God is faithful in seeing and judging the intents of every heart, the heart of man? Now that is true of all men, certainly. All men will face the judgment of God, and He sees every heart. But again, I want to remind us that Solomon is praying about God's people. He's talking about two. The example he gives there is an Israelite and another Israelite. Today, a Christian and another Christian. Brothers, sisters in church. You know, sometimes we do each other wrong. God is the judge. God sees our hearts. And He is faithful. If we have wronged. If we have been wronged, there's no need to seek for justice. God will take care of it. We can let the wrong that my brother or my sister has done to me, we can let that in the hands of God. He can take care of it. You know, I marvel at God's faithfulness, time and time again, how He works in the hearts of people and in our relationships. It's the faithfulness of God. Number four, God is faithful in forgiving the sin of the penitent. Let's continue reading in verse 33. "When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray towards this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teachest them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands towards this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Again, this is not just for the people outside in the world, but it is for us as the Christians, people of God today. That God is faithful to forgive the sin of the penitent. We're going to read later on, Solomon says that there's no one that doesn't sin. And while we are sanctified and justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we do fail at times. We sin. The promise is, if we have a penitent heart, if we repent of that sin genuinely, God forgives us again and again. I can't help but think of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful in forgiving the sin of the penitent. Praise God. Number 5, God is faithful in using His people to declare salvation to the people of the world. Let's read in verse 41. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray towards this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee, for that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. Don't be discouraged in telling others about Christ. Witnessing in Pottsville, Lebanon, wherever it may be, our neighbors, those at the gas station, wherever it may be, let your light shine, because God is faithful in using His people to be a testimony of His name, of His love for them. We have the promise that God will use the church and our love for each other to show the world Himself. John 13:35, "But this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." God is faithful in using His people to do that. Number 6, the last one I want to pull from this prayer, is God is faithful in maintaining His committed servants in battle. Verse 44. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Now here, there's a bit of a shift. Solomon does talk about the children of Israel falling to their enemies because of sin. And then if they repent of that sin, that God would forgive them. But here, he's talking about the children of Israel in battle for the right. In battle where God has sent them. And today, you and I are in a battle, are we not? We're in a battle. I thought of, and my mind went a number of different directions. I thought of the armor of God in Ephesians 6. I thought of the pulling down of principalities and powers and some of those verses. But the verse I was really drawn to as I thought about God being with us in battle is 1 Corinthians 10:13. And we know this verse well. There hath no temptation taken you, but is such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That's the faithfulness of our God. And the word temptations, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We typically use the word temptation today in a more raw sense of being solicited to sin, by being tempted by the lust of the flesh to indulge in something that's not rightful. But, you know, more literally, it could be translated trial. You know, there is no trial. You know, if you're that person in life I was talking about, I tend to be, you know, it depends a bit on our personalities, I guess, but I'm one that tends to be a bit just overwhelmed, have a rather swampy perspective with life. And the year changing just, it just seems overwhelming of all the year past and the year to come and all the things that should, could happen. You know, God is faithful in whatever trial you find yourself in, young mother, young father, young person, that whatever it is, God is faithful in providing a way of escape, providing a place of rest amidst the chaos if we set our hearts on Him. I'd like to finish reading the prayer. Solomon goes back to the theme of forgiving sin. Verse 46, and we'll read to the end of the prayer. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee towards their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For, because they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. God is faithful in keeping His promises. God is faithful in condescending to those whose hearts are turned toward Him. God is faithful in judging the hearts of men. God is faithful in forgiving the sin of the penitent. God is faithful in using His people to declare salvation to the people of the world. And God is faithful in maintaining His committed servants in battle. What should our response be to the faithfulness of God this morning? What should our resolve for 2023 be and beyond? When Solomon finishes praying, he pronounces a blessing on the congregation, and he admonishes them with a proper response to the faithfulness of God. And I would just like to read this. These few verses following the prayer, starting at verse 54, as a closing passage. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these words, wherewith I made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant, and the cause of his people Israel, at all times, as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and there is none else. Verse 61. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Now, brothers and sisters, I can't think of any better admonishment to give us for the year 2023 and beyond than that we would be faithful to Him that is faithful. Let your hearts, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and keep His commandments as at this day. As you are committed today, so be it. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we stand in awe, kneel in awe before you this morning, in awe of your greatness, your eternity, your infinite matchlessness, your omnipotent power. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are faithful to us, your people. You display your faithfulness all around us in the world, but you're a personal God. And your faithfulness applies to our daily walk in life. Lord, I pray that you would be with each of us this morning in our walk of life, each one, each young person, each child, each father, each mother. Lord, that you would be faithful. Hear the supplication of thy servant. bless the righteous. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to live faithfully to you. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Bless us the remainder of this service. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.